Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
So I want us to look at Luke chapter 2, verse 41. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were not aware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. For all of you who have forgotten your children somewhere, take encouragement. How many of you as a child were left at a gas station on a trip or something like that? It ever happened to you anywhere? Yeah, you got left at the mall. Letter from your parents. It wasn't by accident. No, I'm kidding you. It's a scary thing to lose the location of your child. Anyhow, they were unaware of it. They're all traveling together. It's like an entourage. They got all their relatives and family, and they're all traveling, and of course, you know, they just think he's running, you know, with his cousins. And when they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be at my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. I just want us to just pull out a couple of little things that maybe are applicable for our lives that can maybe just stir some thought, and I trust the Holy Spirit will breathe on it, and I don't want to take something out of context, but there's a couple things that just kind of, you know, more than a sermon, it's probably a little bit more of a devotional thought this morning. As I read it, there's some things that I pull out that are for me. So I want to share them with you. It's interesting that Jesus' parents, they went up every year. They obeyed customs. They made the trip. They plan for the travel. They make the travel. Pack up what they need to pack up. They walk. We know, or they travel along it, and it's, we know that it was more than a day, because it says here that, you know, they're a day in their travel and they realize Jesus isn't with any of their family. They obey these customs, and they go to the temple, like many of us this morning who are here. It's like, you know, it's my, for a lot of us, and maybe this is your first time here, and glad you're here, but for many, this is a custom. This is my ritual. This is my commitment on Sunday morning. I go to church. And you get up, and you have your cup of coffee and your healthy oatmeal, or leftover pizza from the night before. I remember doing that in college a lot. It's interesting how patterns still follow you. Still have cold pizza every now and then in the morning. Thin crust, double cheese, sausage from Angelini's. Dude, it's good. Okay, anyhow. I didn't eat this morning, so that really, I had a, ooh. Entertain my stomach for a moment. We go through these things and make our plan. We drive or we walk or we get here. And we do things and we celebrate the Lord. Things that are somewhat customary here, though there's things that are wonderful that happen spontaneously, I believe, by His Spirit from time to time that can start to stir, that we can walk in and say, "I wonder what's going to happen this morning." I love when that starts to build in a congregation. It's like they come in and it's not just, "Well, we're going to sing and, well, you know, we're going to preach and then we're going to pray and then we're going to get out of here." But when anticipation, excitement starts to build in a few people and it starts to spread over time because something, the Lord starts doing something, or we start allowing him to do things in our life, and it builds this anticipation and coming and saying, you know, I wonder what might happen this morning. Could this morning be the kind of the big breakthrough instead of a trickle here and there of your presence or what you're going to do? And it's just, it just starts to build in us with hope and faith. And so, but for the most part, we go through a custom and we come here and they go through this custom and they turn around and leave. And the thing that hits me as a devotional thought for me, I'm going to share with you, is they go through the custom and they go through celebrate Passover and all of this. And when it's over, they leave without Jesus. And I think, I wonder about us coming to church. I wonder about me coming to church. And when the service or celebration is over, do I leave here without him? I experienced him while I was here. But when this was over, do I leave him at church? See, part of this is this thought of building for when we meet again. Do I make sure that I'm in step with Jesus and Jesus is coming with me, or I am going with him from church or from Passover or from the customs? When I leave this place, did I forget him? Or am I going to start walking with him outside of Sunday morning, Wednesday night? What about Monday? What about in the shop, in the garage? You know, Jesus was into the trades. I mean, he was a craftsman. I think Jesus is very interested in your shop. I think Jesus, this is my opinion because he was in the trades, I think he would have liked wrenches. I think he would have liked socket sets. I think he would have liked stuff that you could plug in and have it work. I do. I think he would have maybe liked that convenience. Now, that's my opinion. That's not sermon. That's just me. What about Monday? Tuesday? What about just Avon Road? I mean, because some of us, we could leave this room, go into the lobby, and some of us, we're going to get our kids. And it's a moment where Jesus really needs to be present for us. How long does it take for us to realize we left without him? Sometimes all the further we get is Avon Road. And by the way, you all go that way. It's the only exit out of this parking lot. Legal exit out of this parking lot. How far down the road do we get? How far into the week do we get before we recognize that we aren't in step with him? That we left him at church? It's just a thought that sometimes we leave Jesus behind. You know, I like the way Moses puts it in Exodus chapter 33. He says, unless your presence goes with us, Lord, please don't send us up. In other words, Lord, I'm not leaving here, let alone the church. I'm not leaving this pew unless I know that I am mindful of your presence and you are really going to go with me when I go out these doors. And you're going to be with me. And I'm going to get in my vehicle and I'm going to leave this place. And not only just to get me home safe, as if you're some good luck traveling charm, but through this week, I'm going to be with you. I don't want to leave you at this place. I want to know that you're going with me. I want to know that you're going with me to the gym, going to work, going to school, in my home. I want to know that you're going with me. I want to know that you and I are in relationship and I'm keeping in step with you and I just didn't leave you at church. Say, oh, I don't do that. I every morning I have my devotional. Okay, great. When you're done, did you leave them there? And you go on with the rest of your day. At what point do we recognize that we kind of left Jesus behind somewhere? If we want to keep growing and keep learning and being in fellowship with him and certainly contributing to when we get together and we get in this place and we've all been contributing all week and we haven't left Jesus anywhere and we all get together, it's like this tide rises. We're ready. We're there. I've been with him all week and now you've been with him. We're together and we can, oh, and it's something explosive that happens because the atmosphere and the culture and the air, there's like this faith. It's a presence where faith is active and Jesus does things because there's faith there. We get distracted. I want you to look at something in Luke chapter 10. This is another part of just the last little piece of the devotional. Luke chapter 10. You know, I could just make reference and talk about Martha and Mary, but you know, over recent times, we've had newer believers come to the church. And so I don't want to just reference Mary and Martha as if we all know. Maybe you've never read this. And it's in Luke chapter 10, verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was too busy. Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work for myself? Tell her to help me." Martha, Martha, Jesus answered, "You are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary, who you've just complained against, has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." When I look at being a child who got left somewhere or we leave a child somewhere, it's usually because we're distracted. They're getting ready to leave Passover, the custom, and they're packing up and loading, and it's busy, and they're not the only large family, an extended family, who's leaving town. Many traveled. And you're packing and you don't want to forget anything. It's a long walk back. We get distracted. Here's Mary and Martha, and Jesus is in their home. And Martha is working and making preparations and making things are right and the probably food and everything else. And listen, the food is important. The work is important. Jesus didn't say it wasn't important. He just said, "Hey, Martha, you're distracted. You're worried about a lot of things." It wasn't just that Mary wasn't helping. Jesus looked into her and said, "You're wound up, but you're wound up more than just this." He says, "Mary's chosen what's better." Mary was mindful of the presence of the Lord. She was mindful of Jesus. What is Jesus doing? What is Jesus saying? This moment right now in my life, can Jesus and I be sharing this moment together? Now, please don't misunderstand. This is not a contradiction This is not saying, hey, quit your job and just sit in a room with Jesus the rest of your human life. No. Jesus also knows about work. He knows about work in the kingdom. He told parables and stories and shared principles about work and the ethics of work and all that we put our hand to should glorify the Lord. But we can't leave Jesus out of it. And we can't get caught leaving him at church. I can't get caught leaving him at the devotional time. I can't get caught just leaving Jesus at the study time and then doing my thing outside of that. He's still got to be a part of my life. And I have to have the assurance that he's with me. I've shared this on a few occasions and mentioned it to some on the worship team. You know, if the Spirit of the Lord begins to really move in this place, or for some reason any of the worship team, I don't care if it's the person leading, keyboard, singing, it doesn't matter to me. If they feel a conviction, a drawing, or that they should be down in the altar area receiving prayer, don't be distracted by playing and singing. We'll all be fine without them. Come. Come and pray. Come and seek. Come and be ministered to. If I don't want the guys in the sound booth to miss out if they should be here. I don't want the worship team to miss out if they should be down here. I don't want them to be Martha's disciple. I want them to know the assurance and have the assurance that wherever they're at and what they're doing, they're at the place where they know they need to be. Just a thought. And I don't want to take this out of context. But they went back and looked for Jesus. It said, took them 3 days. They were only a day into travel, and they've been looking and searching for 3 days before they found him. They were celebrating Passover, and they were probably at the temple for part of that time, and it took them a while to find Jesus. I want you to know something. If you feel like you've lost your way with him, go back to where you feel like you last had him. Maybe it was alone in that chair next to a nightstand where you last had your Bible. Maybe it was at church. Listen, one thing's guaranteed is that if you come here and come into this room, you will have opportunity for his presence to unfold to you, and you will have opportunity to praise and to worship, and you will have opportunity to look into God's word. That I can promise you. I promise you that. And if we're looking for him, then let's go back to where we should be finding him, so that when we go from there, we are sure that Jesus is with us, or we are with him. This is not about just a Sunday experience. This is about experiencing Jesus all of our life. All of our life. All of our life. It would have been wonderful to be a disciple of Jesus in the time where he walked the earth. And yes, to go to the big tent meetings, so to speak, or the hillside meetings in the large crowds. But I'll tell you what, apart from that, I really would have just loved to have walked with him on the countryside. I would have liked to have been there when he went through the field and just took kernels and rolled them in his hand because he was hungry and he ate. I would love to have been traveling and just walking and listening to him outside of the big events. I would love to just live life with him. I would love to have not just heard him teach about prayer, but I would have loved to have sat within ear's distance to just listen to him talk to his Father. about living with him between Passovers. It's about living with him between customary actions of weekly church attendance. This is important. But I want to encourage you. Don't do anything and don't go anywhere unless you have the assurance. At the risk of sounding a little cheesy and corny, I'm going to tell you something about me anyhow. Okay? I'm going to close with this. My son, I had the opportunity to go 2 days with him and bow hunt at my parents'. Stay there, but hunt near them. And here in Wisconsin. Just this last week. And most of the time I dropped him off at a location and then I went to another spot. Well, there was one place where we could both bow hunt, and the walk in, I would pass his stand. And so normally, like I said, I'm dropping him off, but I got out of the vehicle, we got all our gear together, we got it all on, we got everything, and we start walking in, and he gets a few steps ahead of me, he turns around and he looks at me. Like, oh, what are you doing? Because something I do, because I enjoy the hunting experience, but I like being out there thinking. And it's not just because I'm old. I've done this for years. I did this when I was a younger man. Before I go in, I just take a knee. And the prayer is not, let me get a big buck. Although I've prayed that many times. I just take a knee before I go. I just say, Lord, I want you with me. I want to have a good time this morning or tonight or this afternoon or whenever it is. And I just want you with me. I need you to keep me safe. I need you to just keep me. I need you to keep my thoughts. I want to know that you're with me out here and that I just didn't leave you at the vehicle or leave you my parents' place or leave you at church. I didn't do that for a show for my son. I do it because that's what I do. I want him with me. And every once in a while I get caught thinking, hey, I left you somewhere. I don't want it to be 3 days before I find him. Uh-uh. And so as I read those kind of things, I don't want to get distracted with all the work, the recreation, the demands of life, because Jesus is interested in all of it and can be a part of all of it. I don't want to leave him at the temple.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.